As we said earlier, we are talking about loving your neighbour this month, but we're going to take a little sidestep and talk about mums today. But that's not to say that we're not still talking about loving your neighbour, because learning how to love others does start in the home. Now, this message for mums today, I hope, will be an encouragement to you. There's a lot of ideas out there about the different kinds of mums that you should be. You see it splashed over the TV and in social media and even just in the schoolyard, which is kind of where I am in my life at the moment. There's, you know, the working mum and the non-working mum and the homeschooling mum and the sporty mum who's always in athletic gear and the one who looks very put together and never a hair out of place. That's not me. And the mum who rocks up in her PJs because, you know, everything's a rush. There's so many more. I'm sure you can think of maybe the mum that you were, and we've probably been a few of those mums in our life. But what kind of mum are you supposed to be? It doesn't matter. Or maybe you're here and you're not a mum because you're too young to be a mum, or you haven't started a family yet, or maybe you're a man. So it's not going to happen. But that's okay. This message is still for you, because the principles in here about how to live a godly mum, a life as a godly mum, apply to everyone. And I understand that today is not always, Mother's Day is not always a happy day for everybody. We have this idea that it's this amazing day where we honour our mums, or we ourselves are honoured, or if you're a man, you're helping your kids honour the mum if they're young. But sometimes Mother's Day can be hard. You might feel underappreciated or ignored or isolated, or maybe your mum's not with you anymore. Or it could just feel like just an ordinary day where you get up and do all the things. But I hope that today, maybe for the next 25 minutes, that you're encouraged to be more like Jesus. Because if that is what happens, then we've achieved our goal. Which brings me to the title, I guess, of this message is A Woman Who Fears the Lord. Today you're going to learn a bit about me, my mum, and some mums in the Bible as well. Now, some of you know this about me already, but I am the eldest of five kids. And who I am as a mum has obviously been shaped by my own mum and by God and my upbringing. And I have four kids of my own. You saw three of them on the video. And I always wanted to be a mum. With each of my kids, I've felt that, you know, they're all I ever wanted. It's a special and it's amazing role to have. But there are it's rewarding, it's fulfilling, but there are times when it is exhausting and it's all-encompassing and sometimes even frightening, especially when your child might be very, very new. For some people, they experience a loss of self. Who am I? What do I even like anymore? And what should I be doing with myself? The unpredictability of the middle of the night wakenings, or phone calls from the school, or sick kids. I've had all those things this week. And if you've got grown-up children, then they might have more serious concerns, like financial concerns or social concerns, or they've got kids of their own. And all of these things encompass motherhood. And what is motherhood? There is the golden standard for motherhood in the Bible is Proverbs 31. And you may know this scripture, and it's often referred to sometimes at weddings because it's the virtuous wife. But the virtuous wife is also a mum. So I'm going to read some of it. And we're starting at verse 10. It says, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strength in her arms." And it goes on. "She extends her hand to the poor. She makes tapestries. She makes garments. She's wise. She's kind. She's not idle." And then this bit, this is how I know she's a mum. It said, "Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her." And the last verse in the chapter, verse 30, says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. What a good lot of verses that is. This woman in Proverbs 31, though, when I read it, she sounds a little bit too good to be true, like a little bit too perfect. She's doing all the things and very busy. But perhaps you as a mum or you as a spouse of someone who is a mum can relate to some of the things that she's doing. Perhaps we're not seeking ships to get food from afar, but we're doing school runs and getting up early to make sure the kids have got lunch the next day or their uniforms clean. Or if that's not the stage of your life, you've probably done that, you know, in times gone by. Or you're helping them with a project, they spring on you at the last minute. And or maybe you're babysitting your grandkids, helping out people in need. Although I will say this, the Proverbs 31 mum had servants, so she probably didn't have to clean, so she's not so perfect after all. Anyway, cooking and cleaning and taking care of your house and, you know, and the clothing and washing and all those things, they might seem like mundane tasks, but they are actually honouring the Lord, which is a good thing to remember. And this doesn't mean that that's all God has for you, that you're just stuck in this cycle of cooking and cleaning and washing. It just means that if your life looks like this at the moment, that you're not missing out on pleasing him because you don't have the opportunity to go on a missionary trip to Egypt. You are pleasing God by being a mum. This passage reminds me a bit of a story from my childhood, which I'm going to share with you. When I was about 10, my parents would have been in their late 30s. My dad at the time was, his main job was driving a truck. He has a semi, he still does, and he would do local truck work and interstate trips. And he also would sell firewood in the winter because my dad likes to do everything, all the things. And so at this particular time, he was up in the country where he's from in Garoque, which is near Horsham, if you know where that is. And with his truck, and he was getting a load of firewood to bring back to Melbourne. And he was trying to get his truck into a property, and there was a tree branch in the way, and he couldn't get through. So he climbed up the tree with his chainsaw to chop down this branch. My dad does this kind of stuff. Anyway, the branch that he went to hold on to balance was rotten, and he fell out of the tree and landed on the curb and smashed his hip. And that day, my mum, who was in Melbourne, she had an inkling from the Holy Spirit to pray for my dad, which she did do. And then she found out, you know, that this had happened. And he was flown by helicopter to Horsham. He was there for a few days. And then to Melbourne, because it was too hard for Horsham. And it was a long process. And he had a big surgery and he's full of bolts. And he did make a full recovery, which is a miracle in itself. But the point is, he couldn't work for a while. And my dad is a man who always, always is working. And my parents, I mean, they had saved money, but they were very frugal. Actually, they still are. And my mum decided, no, we're not going to dip into our savings. I am going to go find a way to make this money. And my mum was a registered nurse, like myself, but her registration had passed because children. There were four of us at this time. And so she decided that we were going to go to the wood yard because my dad had a yard where he bought all the wood that he gathered. And we were going to chop firewood and stack the bins and deliver the bins and do it that way. So do dad's firewood business ourselves. So it must have been wintertime. My younger sister would have been a baby. And I remember going to the yard and doing all these things. And they didn't dip into their savings. And it reminds me of Proverbs 31 because she was taking care of her household, her husband could trust her, and she was strengthening her arms with all that chopping off the wood. Resourceful. And I was just like, wow, how amazing is that? Now we're going to look a little bit at some mums from the Bible. There are so many things that you can talk about motherhood, so I'm going to pick just a couple of them. And I'm really glad, Veronica, that you talked about Mary because I'm going to talk about Mary too. Mary is the most, I guess, the most well-known mum in the Bible. How could she not be the mother of Jesus? So in Luke 1:26 is where we're going to start. It says, "And now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favoured one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favour with God. And behold, you'll conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Jesus, and he will be great." And the angel goes on. And then in verse 34, Mary says to the angel, "How can this be, since I don't know a man?" And the angel says to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. Therefore, the Holy One who's to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren, for with God nothing will be impossible." And Mary says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. What I love about this is Mary, after some initial trepidation of like, what is this? She goes, let it be to me. She doesn't go, "I just need to go talk with my best friend or my parents and go, this angel came and what do you think I should do?" She recognises the authority that the angel has and the power of God, and she's like, "Yep, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do whatever it is that you say. Be it unto me." How much could we achieve in our lives if we said to God, "Be it unto me according to your word," more often? And then she goes to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who's pregnant, and she says this whole spiel, but I'm only going to read one verse, and that's verse 49. And it says, "For he, God, who is mighty, has done great things for me, and holy is his name." She has fully accepted this mantle and taken it on board. So the thing that stands out to me the most of Mary, what can we learn about her as a mum, is that she fears God. To fear God is to put your trust in him first, to seek him above everything else, and to hold his word as the most important thing. We just read before in Proverbs 31 that a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And in Proverbs 9:10, it tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So Mary, despite the situation, you know, she was betrothed, not yet married, being a bit awkward and uncertain of where this is going to lead, she fully trusted that God was going to work things out, and she praised him for it. And obviously it did work out. The second mum I'd like to talk about is Hannah. Now, Hannah was barren and she had a desperate longing to have a child. So she goes to the temple to pray and she's weeping. And we pick up the story in 1 Samuel 1 verse 11. So this is her in the temple. And she says, "Then she made a vow and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head.'" Now there's a priest in there, his name's Eli. He sees her, this plea, and thinks that she's drunk because she's crying and she's murmuring, and says, "What are you doing, woman?" And she says, no, "I'm praying." And he says, "Go in peace and may God give you what you've asked." So God does give her, he opens her womb, he gives her a son, and then in verse 24, it says, "When she had weaned him, she took him with her, and she has bulls and flour and wine, and she brings it to the house of the Lord, and the child's young. They slaughter the bull, they bring the child to Eli, and she says, 'O my Lord, as your soul lives, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore I have also lent him to the Lord, and as long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord.'" And then she worships God. Hannah, I think, amazing. She has faith to God, faith to believe in God for this child in the first place. Amazing faith, because I imagine if you had the inability to have children, that would be a really hard thing. And then once she had this precious child that she had prayed for so long, she kept her word. Because the temptation to be like, "No, he's too good, I want him for myself," was probably there. But she kept her word. She was faithful. And that is the second thing, is the faithfulness of Hannah. Is she brought Samuel back to Eli and said, "Bring him up as a priest." And then Samuel became a great prophet. You know, he anointed David as king. He did so many things, which we're not going to go into. And this story of Hannah was a great encouragement for my own mum. I mentioned before that I am one of five, but there was a time, obviously, when there was four. And the order of the children is four girls and then a boy. So my mum, after having four children, four girls, which she loves, had this great desire to have a son. She did have trouble conceiving my fourth sister. I think she had Jess when she was 37. So, and my dad was like, that's it, no more kids. Anyway, so she had this desire and she said to the Lord, Lord, I want a son. And, well, she was talking to the Lord about it. And God said to her, yet you do not have because you do not ask. Because the previous times when she'd had kids, she was like, I'm believing God for a baby. And you think, well, were we supposed to be boys? No, we weren't. But so she was like, oh, wow, like taken aback. Okay, like, all right, well, if I want a boy, then I have to ask for one. And, you know, sometimes you think, well, is it selfish to ask for another child? I'm telling you what, motherhood is not selfish. It is not. Anyway, so, and then she had to convince my dad, which took some work. But she said to dad, she literally said these words, if I can guarantee you that we'll have a son, will you let me have a son? And he was like, yeah, all right. So she had great faith and she had to trust God both to have a boy and also that she could conceive because she had difficulty. And she did conceive. And my brother was born when she was 43. And that is why I have a brother and he's an amazing person and I'm so glad she went on that faith journey. And that is a testament of faith that we all observed because I was 16 or 17 when he was born. So it was really like obvious for us to see that. And that testimony is not just for me. My mum has shared that with lots of other people. And there's one in particular that I want to share with you. When my brother was in year 12, she was just talking, as she does, because my mum loves to talk, in the schoolyard to another mum and just saying, you know, I had to trust God for my son. And she was like, oh, what do you mean? And they got talking and she didn't know, but this woman had one son and really desperately wanted a girl and had a lot of trouble and had lost a few children and had given up hope. And so she heard my mum's story and mum emailed her the full thing with all the scriptures and everything that she was standing on God for. And she took that in and she had the faith to trust God. And 2 months later, my mum got a text message to say that this woman was pregnant. And by the end of the year, she had a beautiful baby girl. And I was like, amazing. It is important to share your story with your kids and with your friends. Which brings me to my third point, which is creating a legacy of faith for your kids. And my third woman, which is the mother of Moses. In Exodus 2 is this story. And this is when Moses is born. It says, and a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife as a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him 3 months. So the reason why she hid him, you might know, but I'm going to tell you anyway, is there was a new pharaoh in the land who didn't know about Joseph and how Joseph had saved Egypt in the famine. And the Israelites had grown very numerous in number. And he was freaked out, you know, because they were getting, there was a lot of them. And so he decided that it was a good idea to make a decree that when the Hebrew midwives were delivering the babies that they had to kill the baby boys. Now, the Hebrew midwives didn't think that was a good idea, so they didn't do it, and God blessed them for it. But that is why the mother of Moses hid her baby for 3 months. So in verse 3 it says, but when she could no longer hide him, she took an ark of bulrushes for him, with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood afar off to know what would be done to him. Then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe in the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And she opened it, saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. And his sister, who was standing close by, said to the Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse for you for the Hebrew woman, that she may nurse the child for you? And Pharaoh's daughter's like, what a good idea. So she says, go. So the maiden went and she calls the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this child away and nurse him for me and I'll give you wages. So the woman took the child and nursed him and the child grew. And then she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter and he became her son. And she called him Moses because she drew him out of the water. Now Moses' mum's name was Jochebed. It doesn't say it here, but it says it other places in the Bible. And I love that she had the faith to put her child in a basket in a river, because I just think back to when I had just Julian and he was a few months old. I had so much love for that tiny, tiny baby, and I cannot imagine for the life of me putting him in a river. And so I just, wow, the legacy of faith in that woman. And also, how amazing is it that she got paid to look after her own baby? So good. Anyway, so these three women, Hannah and Mary and Jochebed, they all put their trust in God. And God took care of their children, all of them. In the same way, another story from my life, when all of us, not all of us, but when the few of us that have had children in my family, so myself and my sister, my mum has, when we've been in labour, stayed up all night or all day, depending on when we're doing this, interceding for us in prayer. And that is so amazing to me, just covering us in prayer so that we've had, you know, good deliveries and things. And there's seven so far and one on the way, not me, another one. And I'm just like, so good that I know that this is like this backup that she's always going to be praying for us. And I want to do that for my kids one day. And a story from my own life. I have mentioned this before, but it's been a few years now. It was probably about 3 years ago, I think. Julian had all these vague kind of symptoms. He'd sick for a couple of days, different things, you know, vomiting and tummy pains. I'm not going to go into all of them because some of them are a bit gross. But, and, you know, he'd be sick for a couple of days and then he'd be okay and he'd go to school and then next week would come and then it would happen again. And at the time, I didn't quite realise what was going on. And then a whole month went by and I look back at the month and I'm like, he's been sick here, he's been sick here. And I'm like, this is not right. What is going on? And I'm like, okay, well, God knows what's going on. And so one night I went into his room because I was like, enough is enough. And I spent a few hours just praying and praising God because he knows the answer. And within a very short time, that evening, God revealed to me when this happened, the source of why this happened in the first place. It was like some kind of tummy bug from infected water, but anyway. And then as I was like researching, he led me to this page and there was this list of symptoms and Julian ticked every box and I was like, ah, that's what he has. And then I knew what the treatment was, and within getting the treatment, within 2 days, he was fine and never had to that problem again. And I was just like, wow. You know what? God knows. And when we put our trust in him, he looks after us. And, you know, I don't get it right every time. I'm not saying I'm perfect. But what I am saying is that what I saw in these three women in the Bible and what I saw in my mum's life, a life of faith, I want to be like that for my kids. And I encourage you to be like that for your kids as well. If you have a story to tell, then tell it. A testimony is a story of what God has done for you. And God told the Israelites to keep the testimony. In Psalm 78, it says in verse 5, for he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, but also our mothers, that he should make them know to their children, that the generation to come might know them, that the children who would be born, they would arise and declare them to their children. And the reason is because that they may set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Sometimes the children of Israel were very bad at remembering the works of God, and hopefully we can do better. But if you tell your stories of faith to your children, then that becomes part of who they are, and then they can tell them to their children. It encourages to have hope for the future. The Proverbs 31 mum is wise. and Mary and Hannah and Jochebed, they all trusted God and they used their faith. And I have no doubt that they told their stories of the, you know, how it all started to their children. So what kind of mum does God want you to be? Or what kind of person if you're a man? It doesn't matter if you're a working mum or if you're the sporty mum or if you're the PJ mum. As long as you live in a way that encourages your children to put their trust in God. This is the most important thing, a story of God's faithfulness. And if you don't have kids or your kids are not in your house anymore, but you still have a big influence over their life, tell your friends. Because that is how you love your neighbour as well. And it helps others to trust in God. So today, I want to honour the mums here because you do so much in your life that is not necessarily always seen. All the things like that you're doing late at night in the kitchen, in the laundry, even just the prayer coverage. I know as a mum myself, you're always thinking about all the things that your kids are doing and all the things that they get that are going on. And I'm sure when you've got adult children that that doesn't stop. You're still thinking about them and probably your grandchildren as well. There's probably more to think about. I don't know. I'll let you know when I get there. So from one mum to another mum, thank you so much. You are appreciated and you are loved and you are honoured. And what you do is not unseen. And if I can say just a few things today, it is to be a woman or a person that fears the Lord, to be a faithful woman, and to be a woman that tells their story to their friends and their children, and to tell your neighbour, to love your neighbour with your story. So I'm going to pray for us today. And then I'm going to close because I'm sure we've all got Mum's Day things to do. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that it is Mother's Day. Father, we thank you that we can trust you and that we, when we put our faith in you, when we trust you with our lives and with our children, that you always come through. Father, help us to continue to do that. To keep the testimony, to tell the story to our children so they can tell it to their children. And thank you for all the mums here today. I pray that you bless them and honour them and give them peace today as they celebrate that with their families or celebrate with their friends, whoever it is, or if they're not celebrating, that they just have a really relaxing day. In Jesus' name, amen.